I'm Henry McNulty, and this is From the Studio. I'm joined today by folks from the SPIFF Film Festival coming up. I'm here with Pete Porter. Hi, Pete.
Hey, Henry. How are you?
Tom Dineen. Hi, Tom.
Hello. Thank you for having us in the studio.
And Aaron Spickelmeyer. Welcome.
Thank you, Henry. Greatly appreciate it.
So tell me a little bit about this year's festival. What's new? What's happening?
Well, we do have something brand new this year. We had a huge number of submissions this year.
It was a lot more than last year.
A lot more than last year. But a lot of documentaries. We had a lot of really good quality documentaries. And so we created a new event called Docs and Donuts. And that's an early morning wake up. So that's why we did the Docs and Donuts. We'll have donuts, we'll have coffee, we'll have docs. I think it's kind of self-explanatory in the name.
I would say so, yes.
I haven't had my coffee yet.
We are showcasing a number of indigenous films in that programming block. We have a Medicine Ball as one.
The River Remembers.
River Remembers. And then we also have a short documentary called Vision Quest, a film about Spokane, which was filmed last year when we were showing Vision Quest. And it documents just the impact the film has had on the city in the four decades that it's been around.
Films turning into films.
Yep.
So one of the events you have coming is about the film Train Dreams, which has been in the news lately for those four Oscar nominations, and of course, being filmed in this area. The event is called Catching Train Dreams. Can you tell me a bit about it?
Absolutely. Last year, to kick off SPIFF, we put together an event with Matthew Modine before we had our opening night screening, where we had a panel, essentially. But it was just a two-person panel, because it was focused on Matthew Modine. But this year, with Catching Train Dreams, which not only is the four Oscar nominations, but it did receive the four Independent Spirit Awards as well, we will have cast and crew from the event, from the film, shot here in the Spokane area. And we'll do probably a pair of panels with four people, and we'll talk with them about the process of making the film, how everybody became involved in film, how they found themselves on the show, just generally learning about the process, the experience, and we're really excited to bring in students of all ages to come and experience a chance to meet some of the folks that have worked on this now rather prestigious film that was shot here in Spokane.
What events are you most excited about?
I'm probably most excited about the Catching Train Dreams panel, because it's going to bring together people from across the Inland Northwest, specifically Spokane, who worked on that film. And 2 years ago, when that film was in town, one of my students says, "Is it okay if I miss a few classes because I'm going to be doing work on this film?" And I was like, "Well, I'd rather that you not miss class." But now, having this film come full circle and come out and see what she was part of is pretty impressive. And I always love that piece of SPIFF. The people that you know, the people that you've met at SPIFF in the past, the people that you haven't seen since the last SPIFF. And so the community piece of it, and I feel like that is going to be an amazing community moment. And then, of course, opening night with Evergreens, which is another Spokane film. That is basically completing its festival run at SPIFF this year. It's tried and tested, or tested and tried, or however people say that. So that'll be great. And then we'll also have our opening party and Posterize, which is where local designers create posters for the films that we are screening. And then I'm always excited for Saturday night at the Garland, which is Best of the Northwest, and then the world premiere of J.D. McKee's Tell No One. So we're super excited about that. So last year we had our world premiere on Friday, and our end of the tour Saturday. This year we're doing our end of the tour on Friday and our world premiere on Saturday. So I'm pretty stoked about those particular community events. The other pieces that I'm really, really pleased about, we had such an amazing collection of submissions from Native and Indigenous filmmakers from around the world, but specifically from the Pacific Northwest. We have six features that we are screening from Indigenous filmmakers or about Indigenous topics. I'm very excited about those. Aaron mentioned earlier The River Remembers and Medicine Ball. Medicine Ball is about basketball and how it can become like a ceremony and how it can lead to healing. Basketball is tremendous, and this film is from Minneapolis. Reservation Redemption is on Saturday. Two of those shows, one at 1 o'clock, one at 2:30. and the filmmaker will be here for that. We'll have people who are part of the film. That's going to be an amazing experience. Saturday night is Meadowlarks, and that is a film out of Canada about the Scoop and how Native First Nations people in Canada were taken from their families and placed for adoptions into non-Indigenous families. Snake and the Whale, which is about rivers in Washington and Oregon. And then a title that a lot of people might know because there was an exhibition at the Northwest Museum of Arts and Culture called Our Mr. Matsura. And that is about the photographer who was profiled in that exhibition. And we will actually have two very special guests for that show as well. So those are the things that I'm really excited about. In addition, of course, to Worlds of Animation, which is a program that I always program. So those are the things that are really near and dear to my heart this particular year.
Yeah, the animation program is always just so, so popular. And we should note that it is not children's animation. It's not all ages focused. It is PG-13 and up, I would say. But it's always a phenomenal turnout of films that we've been able to collect from around the world.
Some familiar favorites returning in the forms of those different micro festivals, almost these familiar names of the animation and Best of the Northwest, things like that. For audience members who aren't accustomed to the festival or haven't attended before, how do you come to these individual events? Is it individually ticketed? How best to attend?
Yes, there are individual tickets available. That's really the best way right now for attending. Everything is available online on the website, SpokanePhilmFestival.org. You can see the full schedule and all the ticket prices. We do have a special offer for STCU members. You do get a 50% discount if you put in a specific code. And then we do have senior rates and student rates and such for the tickets. The Catching Train Dreams is a free event. We do recommend an RSVP for it, but it is a free event that we're providing this year.
What do you feel spurred the great number of submissions from Indigenous filmmakers? Was this something that, as a festival, you sought out? Or are there just a great number of those features coming out recently and they found their way to you?
A couple of years ago, we had a programmer who was like, we should have an Indigenous category. And so when you go on to places where you submit your films to festivals, you can say short films, feature films, documentary films, and then we also have other categories, and one of them is Indigenous filmmakers. That would be one piece, and so that is something that we've done for several years, and so building that reputation over time is something that has been really important to me. A lot of these films are films that have been supported by this ecostructure, by this cultural ecology that we have in the state of Washington. That's one of the things that Tom might mention later is Washington Filmworks, but they've been supporting films and filmmakers. And so I also think that a lot of people see the real potential to make a cultural shift by making a film, by publicizing these things that are happening, by telling these stories about what's happened in the past, but the things that are happening in the future. The River Remembers is a really amazing example. So there were these dams in Oregon and the Klamath Rivers that were taken down. And there's footage of this, and this is something that I followed in the paper, in the news. And just to see the imagery of these dams coming down and what happens and just following this, if you're, you know, tuned into ecological issues in the Inland Northwest or in the Northwest at all, these are just amazing stories that really deserve to be told, and they're really moving stories. And so that is maybe the little bit longer answer, but yeah, that's the answer. There's the piece where the audiences are going to them, the piece where the filmmakers are being funded, and also that people are seeing the value of these stories and why they need to be told.
There was a great prompt in there for talking about Washington Filmworks. Tom, if you'd like to speak on that.
Oh, I always love to speak about Washington Filmworks. We actually have three films that are related to Washington Filmworks this year. Our opening night film, Evergreens, is a Washington Filmworks funded film, as is the world premiere of J.D. McKee's Tell No One. And it's through programs like this that last year's Stimson's film...
Tim Travers.
Yes, it's such a long name. Tim Travers
and the Time Traveling Paradox.
He has a film returning again this year in the Best of Northwest program, Wax Girl.
When you look at the films that we have here, all of them are really supported by the community. Again, not specifically by Washington Filmworks. Those would be the three that you mentioned. Train Dreams, which everyone is over the moon about, and Tell No One, and Evergreens. And even those are in different cycles. Like Evergreens is done with its tour. Tell No One is just starting. Train Dreams basically didn't tour. So everybody has a different story. But Washington Filmworks has been doing amazing things supporting all of these different stories that can come out.
And Washington Filmworks has several programs that are working to bring new talent and new voices to the fold. They have a PA, production assistant, class coming up here in a few weeks that will be a chance for people to learn about how to behave on a set, what to expect on a set, how to prepare to be on set, and what the experience is like overall. And they are just a phenomenal organization that are helping make these projects and these cultural experiences come alive in our state.
It's clearly borne fruit for the festival.
Absolutely, it has, yes. Not just this year, in years past as well.
So I understand that you've had the happy problem of adding some sessions and events and such. Can you tell me about that?
Yes. On the Saturday, we added in some encore presentations of
Reservation Redemption
and the U.S. Shorts program. They were popular enough that we felt the need to add those extra shows so we could have as many people as possible come and enjoy those.
And Reservation Redemption specifically, it's telling the story of a gentleman named Chief who is on death row and he's one juror away from being sentenced to death. He's a member of the Colville Tribal Nation. And so this is a documentary that hits very close to home. And so we're expecting a very large turnout. We have one screening that is already almost sold out. And it is in large part because we'll have many members of the Colville Tribal Council in attendance.
I forgot to mention one of my favorite films in the festival, which is The Fisherman, which is from Ghana. And we looked at it for last year, but they were too early in their festival run. And they said, well, could we think about next year? And I was like, of course, I love your movie. And it's about a guy who's, let's say, middle-aged, maybe at the end of his career, and he has to make a decision about who he's going to pass the torch to. And he has to do many things in order to put things right, then figure out who to pass things to. That sounds very serious, but it's not very serious at all. It's a hilarious movie about this boat chief in this community and how he's going to keep some traditions, but get rid of some traditions. And by the way, he has a talking fish that tells him what to do the entire film. And so it's hysterical. And the point of view of it shifts around. Like sometimes we're following him and he knows things, but then it doesn't show us some things and we just see him acting on what he decided to do. It's a very funny film, and that's on Sunday. That will be a terrifically fun film.
By the way, he has a talking fish was not a phrase I was expecting to hear in the midst of that description.
And we're also, I think this year, Spiff is a story of journeys because we are opening up with Evergreens, which is the story of two young folks going on a trip across Washington State from Spokane to Seattle. And then we're closing the festival with another journey, which is The Last Picture Show. The Last Picture Shows, which is a journey across the state of Washington looking at the theaters that people went to, had the first time that they saw an Indiana Jones film or the first time that they saw a love story up on the big silver screen, and what has happened to many of these theaters.
I would add that it's not only the state of Washington, it's a state of Washington filmmaker, but he went to 10 states, traveled almost 1,100 miles, went to 120 theaters. And every time I drive around the state of Washington, or even really the West, you drive down a street and there's a grocery store. You're like, that used to be a theater. You can tell that used to be a theater. And there are so many places like that. And so what Rustin, who will be here for Spiff, what he finds is these community centers that are actually, some of them are closed and that's sad, but some of them are still thriving. And so that's really interesting. I love, Tom, that you talked about Spiff as really being a bit of a journey this year. And that's really true. There are so many movies about here's where we started. Here's how we got to where we are now. Here's where we went. Here's how it changed us. We didn't expect to be where we were, and we certainly didn't expect to be where we are. Sometimes it's better, sometimes it's different, sometimes it's not great, but it's part of this destination, part of this path, part of this journey. And that really is a large part of what we're talking about here. So starting from Train Dreams and going to Last Picture Shows, that's a really, I hadn't really thought about that. So thank you for bringing that up. I think that's terrific.
Well, that sounds like a great description of the festival as a whole. The Spokane International Film Festival is coming up March 6th through 8th this year, 2026, and featured at a variety of venues, right?
Yes, that's correct. We'll be starting our opening night at the Myrtle Wilson Theater at Gonzaga University, and we'll be doing our Best of Northwest shorts and the Tell No One premiere at the Garland Theater. All the other shows will be showing at the Magic Lantern Theater in downtown.
A survey again of theaters in the area.
We travel around town.
Well, I want to thank you three for joining me. I've been here with Pete Porter, Tom Dineen, and Aaron Spickelmeyer. Thank you three for the conversation today.
Thank you, Henry. Appreciate it.
Yes, thank you very much, Henry.
Thank you, Henry.
For Spokane Public Radio, I'm Henry McNulty.